Welcome inside the WVUA-FM studios here at the University of Alabama. WVUA-FM 90.7, the Capstone. I'm Rich Robinson. You're listening to Capstone News Now on WVUA-FM. Also joining us is Spinks Meganson, Taylor Ray, Sonny Dill, and we're very honored to have on the phone to start our program off E.O. Wilson, the most highly decorated scientist in the world and a University of Alabama alum. He graduated twice from the university in 1949 and 1950. He's also just recently made two major gifts to UA with an approximate value totaling $500,000. He also just recently announced that he's giving all of his awards that he's ever won. That includes two Pulitzer Prizes, folks, two Pulitzer Prizes to the University of Alabama. And this week is also Edward O. Wilson Week at the University of Alabama. Dr. Wilson, thank you so much, sir. It is an honor. We all read about you growing up and learn about you, and we so much appreciate you joining us on the show.
Well, I'm certainly glad to be here. It's an honor, and there's no place I'd rather be.
Well, sir, as we talked about earlier in the introduction, I'm sure, and frankly, you are one of the few people that do not need an introduction. But when you come back to Alabama and you travel the world, in fact, I was just reading the Wall Street Journal a few days ago, and they were talking about your trip to Mozambique's, one of the big national parks in Mozambique. And you were there working on your latest book, A Window on Eternity. You travel all around the world, sir, and you've written so many books. You've been highly successful. What does it feel like when you come back to the University of Alabama, one of the places that helps you propel yourself to that level?
Well, I feel like I've come back to the place that gave me a start and made whatever success I have in life possible. I was the first person in my family to go to college. Most of my family's in Mobile, and it was the University of Alabama that opened the door and in some way, in various ways, made it possible for me to start and go to college and finish.
One of our staff folks here at the station is from Brewton, Alabama, our own Spinks Meganson. Spinks, growing up, I'm sure you heard so much about E.O. Wilson, and now that you're on the phone with him, I mean, what would you say to him? You're somebody that wants to go into science. You're interested in meteorology and those type of things. I mean, this is a man who helped pave so many things forward for everybody.
Well, Dr. Wilson, it is an honor to speak with you. I understand that you did spend your childhood summers in Brewton, Alabama. And for those listeners who may not know where Brewton is, give us an idea of where it is and how your childhood summers were spent in that small town.
I spent a full year in Brewton. Actually, we just lived there 1 year, but it was very formative for me because I came at 15 and left after my 16th birthday. I went to T.R. Miller High School, and I was the only member of the third team on the football team. That is to say, there were 23 members, and the first 22 made up the first and second team, and I was the third string. And that'll give you an idea of how good a football player I was. But at any rate, it was a great experience for me. And, of course, Brewton, as you know, is just about on the Florida border, and in an area that has a very rich fauna and flora, a great variety of animals and plants, and it was a formative experience for me to explore all through that country. In fact, I wrote a book called Anthill. It's about people, really, not really about ants very much, but in which I made the town, in case other people are going to read it. It's called Clayville is the town, but that's Brewton. And the countryside and a lot of the atmosphere was based upon my experience in Brewton, Escambia County, Alabama.
Very interesting. I never knew that. Now, growing up, and ants have played such a obviously formative experience in your life growing up, and so many people have talked about that. I'm more interested in some of your newer research as well. You were just in Mozambique at the, and I'm not going to pronounce this word properly, the Gorongosa National Park. In fact, the name means place of danger. Dr. Wilson, you went to a park called Place of Danger. I mean, what's going on? That seems to be, I mean, you're just about to turn 85 years old. You're not slowing down at all, are you?
I'm not mostly slowing down. I don't need to yet. Yeah, you got the pronunciation right, Gorongosa. It means, in the native dialect, a place of danger. And it's been an exciting experience for me to work closely with a very wealthy American who has put his fortune and his time in restoring this park, which was damaged during the Mozambique Civil War. That was back in 1978 to 1992. Very few Americans have heard of it. In fact, I suspect not many Americans have ever even heard of the country of Mozambique. But it was a badly damaged country, a badly damaged park, but a magnificent park. It was once the glory of that whole part of Africa in terms of its wildlife. Now, as the wildlife is being restored, it's regaining its original environmental variety and status, and it's a wonderful experience to be there.
Well, we're speaking to E.O. Wilson here on Capstone News Now. Your latest book, A Window on Eternity, talks a lot about your experiences at that national park in Mozambique, but it also talks about what you just mentioned briefly about how humans have had an impact on ecosystems around the world and the biodiversity of the world. I mean, can you put into context how truly damaging humanity has been some of these pre-existing areas?
Well, just by our population growth and the fact that we need more and more land to give us quality of life we feel we have to have, we are displacing a lot of the plant and animal species around the world, displacing them and extinguishing them. So that right now, if we continue the rate of species extinction that is ongoing, we will have destroyed about half of the species of plants and animals by the end of this century. That's a pretty serious loss, and it could play a role in unbalancing the equilibrium we want to have in the Earth's environment and our sustainability beyond.
What is the one issue that you continue to study and research that keeps you up most at night or worries you the most about the future of our species on this planet?
Right now, I'm worrying the most, and I'm writing a book about it, is a philosophy that's getting hold in America and maybe elsewhere, that, we can't save all these species and we can't save the natural environment. There are no more wildernesses. We might as well just give up, relax, and turn let the Earth become completely humanized, all by and for humans. And if we lose millions of species, we'll just have to do without them. This is a kind of a defeatist attitude. It's lowering the bar, and it's giving up and taking a big chance, because, you know, extinction is not reversible. It's taking a chance that down the line, when we've removed enough of the living environment on which our species has survived and flourished for its entire history, we might find that we are not able to carry on without it, and then find that it's also gone forever.
We're speaking to E.O. Wilson here on Capstone News Now. Dr. Wilson's got to run here in a few seconds, but, you know, going back to what you were just talking about, the United States has made an effort, and I'll at least a lot of people say this country has made a grand effort in the last 100 years or so to make massive national parks and to have federal lands that are protected. Do you think our country and this state does enough to protect some of these places, or do we need to do more?
I think it can be doing even more, and we have some great opportunities. The one I've become involved with mostly in my hometown of Mobile is the Mobile Chinsaw Delta. It's really a wilderness area. And then north of the Tensaw Delta area is another sparsely populated region called the Red Hills that have deep ravines. And the two together have an astonishing amount of biological diversity. If we could have that area made a national park, then we would be preserving a large part of Alabama's natural heritage, and would provide, I think, something that all Alabamians would enjoy and would be proud of. This is just in the early planning stage as I speak.
Now, going back to the university,
Why are you, I guess, giving the university both of your Pulitzer Prizes?
Well, I'm giving them the university everything. I'm giving the university all of the medals, prizes, gold, silver, silver, and so on that I own, and to deposit here and keep in perpetuity, use it the way they want. I'm helping them set up graduate fellowships for graduate students working in biodiversity and conservation issues. And why am I doing this? The university gave me the chance I needed, and they gave me the education, and I wouldn't be anywhere in science or, you know, any kind of work in conservation if I hadn't gotten the start here. I think it's just right that I help out some coming along now.
Well, I suppose that the Smithsonian and maybe Harvard University are a bit upset about your decision, though.
Well, they'll get over it.
We're speaking to E.O. Wilson here on Capstone News Now, one of the most famous University of Alabama graduates. You actually graduated twice from the university. I mean, when you come back here, you know, 60 years on from your graduation at UA, roughly 60 years, and you look around what's happened, I mean, the university has grown so dramatically. It's just under 35,000 students now. The majority of students, or close to it, are from out of state. I mean, these are massive changes in the life of this university.
And something that this university and the state of Alabama can be proud of. This university has grown unbelievably strong in its buildings, its infrastructure. It has something like 60% of the students coming now to the university are from outside the state. It is a superb university and becoming very close now to becoming one of the elite universities in this country. I like to compare it now with Duke and Emory and Vanderbilt. It's getting up with them on their own level. And in fact, in spite of the fact that it's a state university, and I believe that this is a huge accomplishment for the state of Alabama, and I'm proud to see that this university, which I love, has come so far during my lifetime.
Only a couple more questions for you, Dr. Wilson, because we know you're in high demand here today during E.O. Wilson Week, of all things. Do you ever get tired of writing? Do you ever get sick of the act of writing and sitting down? And I mean, it's a laborious process. Do you ever get tired of it?
No, I like it. You know, if I don't know whether you're a musician or a good tennis player, but I'm sure there are things that you're very good at, and you're good at it because you like doing it at the beginning, and then you perfected it to the point that you just enjoy doing it. And I certainly enjoy writing. I find it very relaxing. I find it just the right medium to get the greatest amount of creativity in my thinking, and also to express thoughts in just the right way. I'm like your English professor, your strict English professor, that insists that you write it again and get it right this time. I do that with myself.
Do you use a computer? What is your process for writing?
I never veered from a handwritten script. I write with pen and paper. Fortunately, I have an excellent assistant who can read my writing sometimes when even I can't, and who has, can prepare the manuscripts for books and articles.
We'll go to Taylor Ray for this next question here. We're speaking to E.O. Wilson, one of the most famous grads of the University of Alabama.
With the university giving you the tools that you need to conquer all of these things, what advice would you give to graduates that are graduating next weekend?
What would advice I would give to what now, or the graduate of the university?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, I would say you've been given a pretty good shot at life, a very satisfying career in life. And what you should be doing now is sort of going over your mind what it is that you like doing the most, what it is you would like doing that could bring you a living. I wouldn't worry too much about becoming wealthy in doing it, but do what will give you the maximum satisfaction. Find something you could even be passionate about. And only you know what that is. So you have to dig deep in yourself and think about what you might be in 10 years or in 20 years. Do that. You won't miss.
Last question for Dr. E.O. Wilson. And, sir, we appreciate you so much for taking time out of your schedule today during E.O. Wilson Week to join us on Capstone News Now. Are you hopeful for the future of humanity and of our country and of our state moving forward from all everything that you've learned in your life? Are you hopeful?
I use a phrase that John Kennedy once used, cautiously hopeful. In other words, yeah, I'm hopeful. But I think we have to be stepping cautiously now and not ease up on anything. We've got to keep the bar high, and we have to put everything we've got into making this a safe and even more livable planet than it is now.
Dr. Wilson, thank you so much, sir, for being an inspiration to so many millions of people around the world, and especially here at the University of Alabama and this state. And we appreciate you so much, sir, for everything that you've done and continue to do. I mean, you're not slowing down at all. We'll be sure to read your new book that's coming out and any future works as well. And we'd love to have you back on the show.
Well, I'd like to come back sometime.
Very well. Dr. Wilson, we appreciate it so much. That's E.O. Wilson, again, one of the most famous scientists in the history of the profession. We'll come back here on the other side. You're listening to Capstone News Now on WVUA-FM.